since I was studying at the Hanns Eisler School in Berlin, I was surrounded by like the best people in the world. One of my problems that brought me into psychotherapy was that I felt so misplaced there. I played the audition, I got the place, but I thought, why me?
Does this situation sound familiar? Well, it certainly does to me. Even after 8 years of working in the orchestra, I still regularly find myself thinking, why me? What am I doing here anyways? Hello and welcome to the Classical Music Career Podcast. The holidays are upon us, and for me, this has always been a good time to pause, reflect on the past year, consider my successes and failures, and think about goals for the year ahead. As musicians, we are incredibly busy. Often we don't have time to deal with our stress, anxiety, and burnout. We just power through. However, this often leads to problems that manifest themselves in physical or psychological issues. If we don't get a handle on these problems, they can be detrimental to our careers. Just as an example, an imposter syndrome can keep us from applying for auditions we might have won, or stage fright keeps us from putting our best foot forward. My guest today is Lina Marie Deunert, a successful violist from Berlin who is training to be a therapist to help musicians overcome their problems. Lina strives to become a liberated musician and help others find their way to a better and healthier life. This podcast is created by InClassics, web development agency for musicians. Visit our website inclassics.com to find out what we can do for you. And now let's dive right into this conversation.
So my hands were getting numb on stage. I couldn't really feel my fingers anymore. I couldn't properly use them in that kind of very specific way that you need in order to play the viola, even the viola. So I went to a doctor and he said, well, it doesn't look like you have a physical problem, so maybe you try a psychotherapy. So I did that. And I think for at least 2 years, back then when I was like 19, I had this therapy, which was like a behavioral kind of therapy. And I enjoyed having those sessions every like 1 or 2 weeks to have someone to talk to. But I didn't really succeed in curing myself from that problem. But what I can say now, while I look back to that time when I was like 19, 20, is that I think I already knew back then that at some point in the future, I wanted to be able to help people who might have the same problem that I had back then, or just like generally, I'm sure that every musician suffers from some kind of stage fright or like mental illnesses, burnout. Some actually have a burnout, some get very close to it. And since I was studying at the Hanns Eisler School in Berlin, I was surrounded by like the best people in the world. One of my problems that brought me into psychotherapy was that I felt so misplaced there. I got the place, I played the audition, I got the place, but I thought, why me? So I really didn't feel like I belonged. And I also wasn't someone who had already played international competitions or whatever. I think I got in by talent mostly. And I am very passionate about music, but I really didn't feel like I am like all those other rising stars around me. But I also realized that most of them have severe mental problems and they are mostly not taking care of it. Also, probably because there is no one you can like, there is no door in the school that you can knock on and open and say, hey, I have a problem, please help me. There are in every school, I think there are some people who care about students. They do like body awareness exercises or like mental awareness stuff. I think in every school there is nowadays a program which takes care of that. But I didn't feel like there is something so accessible that everyone, even if you are not sure that you even have a problem, could go there and just do something like to prevent having an actual problem in the future. And so I decided already back then, I think that at some point in the future, I want to learn something that can enable me to help other people who are studying music, who are young musicians, who want to become professional musicians. And then I actually found a technique that helped me with my hand problem, which is called the Chinese quantum method. I stumbled across it by total accident. I had never heard of it before, and I've also not really met anyone yet who has heard of it. But I had, like, after trying to find a solution for my hands for almost 8 years, I found a coach by coincidence who does the Chinese quantum method, and I had two sessions with her, and for 12 months straight now I haven't had the problem anymore. And before I had the symptoms like every 3 weeks. That was the worst part of my time with this problem. Like a year ago, kind of exactly a year ago, I had it almost every 3 weeks. And then I had those two coaching sessions and it just went away. Knocking on wood, because I hope it's not going to come back. But I also feel a lot more capable to deal with it right now. If it would come back, I think I would have a lot more on my hands to help myself deal with it. But I really haven't had those symptoms anymore for 12 months straight after having it on such a regular basis. And because I really wanted to learn like an actual technique, start something like a coaching career, I chose that one, the Chinese quantum method. Actually, this week I'm in the third part of the 4-part training program for it. So I hope that probably next spring or something I will be able to get the degree and be officially certified. Right now I'm mostly working with friends and friends of friends in order to practice a little bit for myself, but at some point I really want to make it like a bigger thing, a bigger part of my profession, a bigger part of my day. And since this technique was like the thing that helped me, I'm just 101% convinced that it can help other people too.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I think it's so important for musicians who do go through this kind of experiences and to go and do the training course and then to be able to help others, because it's hard when you in with anything. Like as musicians, we have a quite specific job, and our stress and our problems are very, very specific to our profession. And it's sometimes maybe difficult to connect with someone who has never been a musician, you know, and to tell. It's maybe not even always possible to explain why it is that you feel stressed when you're practicing, for example, right? Because it's easy to explain to people why it is that you're stressed when you're on stage and there are like 500 people in the audience. But why are you stressed when you're in the practice room? Why all of those mental things come when you are alone? And also just the, as you said, you know, that many people have some one or another issue, but we often don't even recognize it ourselves, right, as musicians, because we are so busy focused on playing, on practicing, on the gigs that we need to run around. So we often don't even maybe catch this moment when we start to feel a burnout or when we start to develop some mental problems. On your experience, what most of the time do you see musicians having as something to deal with?
Well, I think most of us are just not able to rest. That might sound like a very easy thing to say and like something that's not even that relevant, but I think it's very relevant. I used to practice like every single free second of the day, and this resulted in being super tense all the time, having the worst neck aches, never having any room in my head to even realize how I'm doing today. So like the question, how am I actually doing, is something that out of fear of the answer, I never pose to myself. And like, for example, in my school where I did my bachelor degree, we had those tiny little practice rooms which had glass doors. You could close a curtain in front of the glass, but mostly people weren't doing that because the rooms were so small. So like whenever you were going down that room, you could see all these people like intensively practicing, and you could see how much into the music they are and how focused they are. And you always felt bad, like even just walking down that corridor, because you thought, oh, maybe I'm not looking that focused when I practice. And why am I even walking so slow? Because I could already be in my room and could have unpacked my instrument. And well, I can just say for myself that I almost didn't rest at all for the first 5 or 6 years of my studies. And I also am kind of, I'm not yet anywhere there yet, but I'm discovering more and more day by day that I don't have the freedom that I would like to have in my choices, because I have so many premises in my head, which have like come over time from teachers, from colleagues, from mentors. And for example, one of my most beloved teachers, I owe him so much, and I will always be grateful for his work. But something he always told me was like, the more stress, the better. And back then I kind of just accepted that because I thought, yeah, it makes sense. Like if you train yourself in stressful situations, it can only help you. And to a certain degree, I guess he's right, but to which degree exactly? And how personal is this degree? And how to find the balance, and how to find out if you are as resilient as your neighbor is, and how to deal with probably realizing that you are not as resilient, that someone can practice 6 hours and he's fine after that, and probably you can only practice five. And how to not feel like a loser or like the worst musician when you realize that. How can you actually feel like a very self-secure musician if you can say, okay, I know the number of hours per day that I can work, and I know that in order to balance out the work, I want to do like 3 hours of yoga each week. I want to do 1 hour of meditation each week. Those kind of things are, in my eyes, the actual achievements we need to make during our time of studying or the first years of work, because afterwards it might already be too late. Like if you only think about what you need in order to have a happy life, not just be a happy musician, but have a happy life. When you've already worked for 10 years, I think there is a lot of stuff already very wrong inside of you. If only then, after so many years, you start thinking about it. I think you really should start when you start studying, or even before, or at least like in the end of your studies, you should make this break, have a cut where you get into these topics and really allow yourself to find some answers and to deal with them.
Yeah, I don't know about other people, but I find with myself that, for example, you kind of don't want to even open this door. You know, you sometimes you feel that something is not exactly right. You know, and maybe you feel that okay, is this job for me or is this position for me? But then you're almost scared to steer this up. You know, and you just go on with your life how it is, with always feeling that there is something wrong, but not really doing anything proactive to deal with it. You know, it's difficult to go deep.
Yeah, that's what I meant with like choosing the right time. There's this saying that I really like, that I think it's very common, but still, the best time to plant a tree was like 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. So whenever you feel like there's something like boiling up inside of you should just look, because even 24 hours later, it might already be worse, and you could have avoided the worst by just looking at it. And for me, I fortunately have had a lot of companions around my path through the music world. I've usually tried to connect with people who were teaching some kind of body awareness therapy and stuff. Like the teachers that I had in school, I usually tried to like hang back after the classes and talk to them and try to get some wisdom, to learn something about their history. Usually they are musicians who then got into this kind of thing they are teaching now, and to listen to their story and why they thought that doing something else than just playing in an orchestra is important, and why they chose their special technique has always been of great interest for me. And I was always like a person who didn't, I didn't have any fear to just go to someone and talk to them and ask them a question. But I think that's not normal. So there should be a very easy way for anyone to find someone who can just help you. And even if you don't even know what your problem is, you just feel bad, you are depressed, frustrated, you can't work, you can't focus, there should be someone you can just go to and say exactly this, and then they should help you and try to find a solution. And there shouldn't be that much like resistance or bureaucracy or anything that might hold you back from taking care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that maybe sometimes also what holds us back is the financial aspect of it, right? Because if you like have to go to get some private hours with a therapist or something, then you might think, you know, like, is this, can I afford it? But at the same time, like, for sure, as you said, the best time to deal with anything is today, because yeah, tomorrow things can be different. And tell me a little bit about the therapy that you are learning and that you are doing. So it's for me to hear that you can have two sessions with someone and to deal with something that was persistent is fantastic, you know. So how does this therapy work?
First of all, I want to say two things. The first one is that obviously not every problem will be solved after two sessions. There's no guarantee for that. I was lucky that it helped me so quickly, but there is no guarantee. The things that I'm gonna say might sound a little bit like it's some kind of magic potion, and I don't want it to sound like that, because there is an idea behind it, and this might sound a little magic, but if you try it, you will see that it's actually not. Let me just maybe give an example of like how a coaching session might go. So you come with some kind of problem. Let's say someone really wants to become a professional musician, but they feel like something is holding them back and they cannot really fulfill their whole potential. They are frightened on stage, and maybe they are afraid of going to the lessons, and just the kind of normal stuff that a lot of people might suffer from. And what you do in a coaching session is that there is a system which we can use. It can also like be a very free kind of conversation, but there's also a system that you could use in order to find the source of resistance in a person's energy field, which is holding them back from living the way they want to. So let me try to like get some system into what I'm saying. The reason why it's called the Chinese quantum method is that the idea behind the coaching technique is that we all have a quantum field. This is not an idea of the technique itself, it's just quantum physics. We all consist of atoms which are made out of electrons, and they create this electromagnetic field around our bodies. So actually every living being has one of these. And quantum physics also say that in this field, information is stored, and over years, and this information can be good or bad or neutral. If it's good, then leave it there and be happy. If it's neutral, then you can just overlook it. But if it's some kind of bad energy which is locked up in your electromagnetic field, it might hold you back from being the best version of yourself. And to like give a small example, maybe. So someone says, I want to become a professional musician, but for some reason in like different areas of their life, it doesn't really work out. They feel like something is holding them back. And by talking to that person, we might discover that when they were children, their parents told them like every once in a while, yeah, probably don't become an orchestra musician because you will never be able to like be financially stable. And it like whenever you hear this kind of stuff, you might not feel like it's getting into your system, like it's sinking into your mind. You might feel like you don't accept this kind of premise of your parents, or you think, well, I'm already making money and it's just not true. But the thing is that you just don't know which kind of information is going to be mixed up in this field around you. So you cannot really choose what is locked up there and what's not. You can say, okay, I reject this information, and so it's not in my field. Actually, if you say I reject it, then it's probably gonna like come to you even closer, because the resistance is what makes the mix up in your energy field. And by talking to someone in this kind of session, you can find those energy mix ups and neutralize them. So the energy can flow more freely and you are not like standing in your own way on the path to your like favorite kind of future or whatever you want to achieve. And I think like the idea that you are holding yourself back with some kind of thought patterns or leftover information from the past is something that everyone might be able to accept. And obviously, if you have like a big problem, like I had it with my hands, there's usually more than one thing that's holding you back. There's more than one energy mix up, and you need to find all of them and neutralize all of them in order to actually resolve the whole issue. But since I had a coach who is also a musician, obviously she was very quick in finding the right spots and asking me the right questions in order to find those blockages and neutralize them. And yeah, so that's the idea.
But then, so when someone on a therapy, when someone is asking you questions, it is simply a conversation, right? Is there like some techniques that you come home and you need to do something by yourself, or is it all happening during the session?
Well, since I am learning the technique, I'm also actually using it for myself. And there are some exercises that you could just repeat after a session, but it's not like you go home with some kind of homework. Usually you do the work during the session, and then usually also stuff is happening afterwards. So once after one of my coaching sessions, I really felt, I mean, I've never actually really taken drugs. I'm a very ordinary, boring person. But once after coaching, I actually felt like I'm on drugs, because I was so happy, so relieved. I felt like I was floating on like a pink cloud or something, because something had opened up inside of me. Or once I was doing a session which was circling around topics with my family and my ancestors, and eventually we tried to take back some kind of energy that I had stored with other people and give back energy other people had stored in me. And when I say energy, you can also say ideas or premises or whatever. You can find your own words and your own ideas how to picture it. But during the session, when the coach helped me to like give back the energy that does actually belong to me, it really felt like some kind of bricks were like floating out of my chest. And it was, I don't know, it was like a process of at least 1.5 minutes. And I really felt so much lighter afterwards. And I literally couldn't stop smiling. It was really extreme. So there can be a physical process, like an almost physical process that you can really feel, which starts during the session and it can keep going afterwards, but it's not something that you need to control or take care of anymore, but like the first activation energy is going to come in the session and then it's just gonna like roll on its own afterwards.
Yeah, this sounds amazing, and I just now I want to do a session with you so I can experience that, you know?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, because it's absolutely, you know, like I started playing the bass when I was 14 years old, and so I was already, you know, too old to start any kind of musical education, and I didn't really have much in touch with music before that. So my whole life until now, I feel like this imposter, you know, that haven't learned anything,
yeah.
And, you know, doesn't know anything. As a therapist, I don't know, like, do you, then when people tell you things like this, do you give them advice, or do you guide them? How do you guide people to deal with it and to leave it behind?
Well, the idea behind the quantum technique is not giving advice. It's actually just to relieve people from stressful ideas that are holding them back. Maybe afterwards they will be able to give themselves some really good advice, because an idea that has been holding back is actually not part of their thinking anymore. But so as a coach, my biggest the thing I need to do is neutralize my system before I go into a coaching session. So I actually correct my field from any kind of personal thinking, so I can be completely with the person I'm working with. And then I'm actually also kind of locking into their field in order to find the resistances in their thinking, because otherwise I would be stuck in mine, right? So if, for example, I check if there's a resistance on the concept of I can never be financially stable as a musician, I need to really check if that's a problem for them. It doesn't matter if it's a problem for me in a coaching session. That's irrelevant. I need to lock into their system and check, is there a problem for them on this concept? And if there is one, I'm just gonna neutralize it. So it's not about advice. And also, I shouldn't even try beforehand to find the reason why this person might have a problem. I'm just gonna check. I'm gonna ask them questions. I'm gonna pose some ideas, like, as a musician, you can never be financially stable. And then I'm gonna check, is that a problem for them? And if it is, then I might think that this is something that's holding them back on their way to a career. And then I'm just gonna neutralize it. And obviously, like, the concept always has like a lot of facets, right? So you try to find a lot of like different perspectives on the same problem, like, for example, financial stability, and then you try to look at it from like every possible way in order to find every resistance that might be left on the concept, and to just like pull the whole root out of there.
Yeah, so basically if to ask, like, there are no quick fixes. Yeah, like, if so, how to deal with, for example, when we do auditions and we don't get the job, how to deal with it, how to deal with rejection, or when we feel that imposter syndrome, as you spoke, and as I spoke, how to deal with that, or how to deal with a job, with a work environment that drives you crazy, you know, and the competitiveness that is happening around you. Is there anything you can suggest, or no? Are we just going into a session and then that's the only way to deal with it?
Well, I will be able to suggest something for a specific person that I'm working with, but not generally, because we don't always have the same reasons why we feel stressed in an audition. Some people might feel stressed because their dad was a super great violinist, and when they go on stage, they feel like they have to be as great as they're dead. Some people might be stressed because they think even if I win the job, I will never be financially stable. Some other people might think, well, I was never as good as the people in my class, and that's why I'm stressed. And because the reasons, like, they come from the same kind of pool, and that's why it's very easy to make like a general thing about it. But I think it's not so useful. You really need to look at the person in front of you, and you need to look into their story, and you need to find out, like, how exactly do they think, and how, like, what is the exact thing that they are most influenced by. And CQM is like a very, I think it is the fastest way to kind of model an idea of how a person's mind works. Again, it's not magic. And if you go to like a usual psychotherapist, they are going to try to do the same thing. But I think the idea in a 2 or 3 year therapy program is to take your time. And that's a really good thing, because going somewhere every week is really nice. And I'm actually also doing it again right now, and I really enjoy it. But if you have something that you really want to fix, like, in a quick way, doing the air quotes here, because obviously it's not going to be quick, but let's say like in 1.5 months, there is an audition for an orchestra that you really would love to be part of, and you want to give your best, and you want to be authentic and free and musical, and you just want to like show the best version of yourself, then you need to find some kind of way to do that in the next 1.5 months. And you cannot say, well, I'm going to look for a therapist and I'm going to do a 3 year program, and well, then the audition is over, right? So I think this technique, CQM, is something that might enable you to find the fastest way possible for one problem. If you have another problem like that you want to look at afterwards, there's going to be a new process. It's not something that you do once and then your whole life is a miracle. Obviously not. One problem, you state the problem itself, you say how you want it to feel. So for example, if someone tells me when I'm on stage, I just have no connection to my body anymore, and I can't even like connect to the music itself, then I ask, okay, how do you want to feel? And then they might say, I want to feel the ground beneath my feet, I want to have an idea of the room, the air around me. I want to be able to look in the audience faces, and I want to just enjoy the music and be happy about every note that I can play. And well, then we start the process and we try to get to how it is today, to the idea of how they want it to be. And that's what we do then.
This sounds wonderful. And yeah, I just, we are I'm definitely gonna come to you and be a patient and hopefully deal with some things that yeah, I think I'm from Ukraine, you know, and I think as Ukrainians, we are a little bit still live in a stone age, in the sense that, like, you know, if you think that to go to the therapy, it means that there is something very, very wrong with you, you know. You don't think just of going to the therapy when maybe like there is nothing really wrong with you, but yet at the same time you want to deal with just with some little things that could have been better, right? And
but you know, I think that I mean, if you say that in your home country this might be like a common thing, then obviously I believe you. But I think it might also like this insecurity about who you are as a musician and how good you are. It's something very common that you can not even really avoid. I think it's something that you can really learn to deal with, but it's impossible to like get around it. So for example, you know already that I won an audition for a permanent job like exactly a year ago, and I started in January, and I was playing in like a smaller A orchestra. So it was a good orchestra, but probably not the best one you can find, and I was playing on a tutti position. And although I was the one who decided to leave after 6 months, also, well, if I say the orchestra wasn't happy with me, it's not the whole truth. But let's just say that in their eyes, I wasn't doing my job really well, which is okay. They can think that, and I can maybe also accept some of their reasons. Some I can't, but I think that's fine. But what I'm trying to say is that, for example, now I'm working in another orchestra as a solo viola, and I just started playing there in September, and my first big project there was like as a what's it called, like Stellvertreter, like substitute solo. So I was sitting in the first stand, but not as the leader, in the leader position. And then after this first project, they asked me, hey, can we also like ask you for playing the next project as solo? And I was really happy because I wanted to try, and I felt very welcome in the atmosphere of the orchestra. And now I've played a lot of different projects as solo viola there, and I think I can do it. I mean, I'm still learning, and it takes a lot from me, but I can do that. So like half a year ago, I was, let's put it a little black and white, kicked out of an orchestra from a tutti position, and now I'm working as a solo viola. So how to deal with that discrepancy? And you kind of like you experience that on a daily basis. Like you play for three schools, for example. If you want to get into a bachelor program, you play for three schools or five, and maybe two take you and three don't. And in two schools, they tell you, yeah, you have like the world is like in front of you and you are going to be great. And in three schools, they tell you, well, I mean, like at your level of playing, you can just like, I don't know, study law or something. And some people tell you everything is amazing, and some people will tell you you are just the worst. And you cannot really avoid having those very different voices as part of your life. And obviously, none of us musicians is stubborn enough to just like ignore all the negative feedback. And it's also not what we should do. I think we should always listen. We should try to like extract the stuff that we can actually learn from, that's going to make us a better musician, just for ourselves, not to please anyone, just for our own progress. But accepting that some people might really like you and some might hate you, especially if you have a very clear musical voice, if you really want to make a statement with your music, then it's even more likely that some people are really going to like you and some are really not going to like you. And I think we should always go for the statement and for the unique thing instead of like what everyone else is doing. And I think it's like a little bit, it can be a little bit unfair or seem a little bit unfair in the beginning if you're working hard on finding your own voice and then you are discovering, well, now a lot more people actually hate me. Also, a lot more people are going to like you, but some are going to criticize you even harder. And I mean, I'm not there yet. On Instagram, I call myself the liberated musician, which is more a thing that I want to become, not a thing that I already am. But something that I can say is that I'm making a lot of room in my life right now in order to get to become the liberated musician. Because the more I look at it, again, as you said before, sometimes we, like most of the time, we don't even want to look, but right now I'm really looking and I'm making room for questions and answers and stuff. And the more I have a clear look at my life and the past 6 years, or even the time before when I was still in school, I realize in how many ways I'm not free, and there are hundreds of them, like 100 different reasons why I can't really be me, or why I've actually even forgotten who I am or who I want to be. And in order to say that I want to become the liberated musician, I need to stick to that process and really be honest with myself and probably focus the energy that I usually put into practice and hours of work, focus that energy into my own process. And that's also a lot of work, by the way. So some people might like look at my life and think, oh, she's doing a lot less and she's not making that much progress. She's not playing auditions or whatever. But I'm doing another kind of work and I feel like it's really brave because it's so much easier to just like go back to the practice room and put in the additional 2 hours in order to play the excerpt a little bit better. But I've been doing that my whole life. And right now I want to try something else. And yeah, it's not easy. It's really not easy.
I can believe it. I think it's definitely very brave to go and do your own thing. You know, it's always, it takes a certain dedication and belief to be yourself and to play how you play and to make a music in the way that you believe this music is. And as you said, whenever you go a little bit being different, there would be always a lot of people who like it, but there would be also the ones that criticize you. The problem starts when we start only listening the negative voices, right? Because I find that it's much easier to hear those negative comments and to react on them and to stay with those comments rather than to hear all the good and positive feedbacks that you have. Somehow we prefer often to stick with that negativity. And whichever way person can find to deal with it, to deal with all of this that surrounds our life as musicians, be it therapy or be it, I don't know, yoga or meditation or any other technique, is an incredible tool that will help through the whole career path to live a better life and in the end to actually build a more successful career, because I think it's very hard to continue building and improving when you are not well, right? So it's very, very good to have this kind of tools. And
I think I've become very much aware of how closely we need to look at our very personal concept of success. I think when we start studying, there is a very clear idea like put on us about how success has to look. Usually if you start studying and you want to become an orchestra musician, then the aim is to win an audition for a good orchestra, right? And we never, like, until we really have some kind of physical or mental problem, we never actually look at the definition of success, and we never include all these super important things that go into it so much. So for example, I had this conversation yesterday which really opened my eyes about like a little aspect of that. I'm subbing in a big orchestra in Berlin this week, and they knew that I started working in this orchestra in Hamburg, and I already played there once while I was still there, and I told them about some of my concerns, and now they found out that I quit there and blah blah blah. So this one colleague in this orchestra in Berlin, he was talking to me in a break, and he asked me if I'm already doing auditions again, and I said, well, I'm taking some time off, I'm trying to focus on other stuff and like to find some new balance in my life. And he looked so concerned, and it really seemed to me like he was trying to find some kind of advice for me that he could give for me in order to be able to do auditions again very fast and to very fast find a new job. And he really didn't get that this is not what I'm looking for right now. I'm looking for something very different. I'm looking for something that can get me through the next 40 years of being an orchestra musician or whatever kind of musician. I'm not even sure yet who exactly I want to be, but it was really funny because I really felt like he felt like I had a problem because I wasn't doing auditions. She has a problem and that's why she's not doing auditions. Actually, it's the other way around. I'm trying to fix a problem which will make me able to choose, do I want to play this audition or not? It will enable me to say no to an audition because I'm completely free in how I choose, which I'm not yet. Like, I've canceled a lot of auditions lately, and it always felt like kind of bad. I still did it because I knew why, and I knew that I want the energy to go into my process instead of the preparation for the audition. But yeah, it was really funny for me talking to this colleague, because I realized that whenever you tell someone, no, I'm not doing auditions, they think that something is wrong with you. And if you are not really dedicated to a process that you want to, like a way that you want to walk on, then you are always going to be persuaded to go back to the way it was before. So if you don't really choose the change, then there will always be a ton of people around you who will make you feel bad about this change that you want to establish in your life. And there's one more thing that I remember, which made me realize how like oversensitive I am concerning like doubts or even just questions from other people. I once made this experiment. I had to prepare like a small piece. It was just like 2 pages or something for a little class concert. And a friend of mine had told me that when he tries to memorize pieces, which are very important, like for big concerts and stuff, he doesn't actually ever learn the music with the score. He immediately starts to like put the score away. So he like looks once so he knows the notes, but then he immediately puts the score away and he just plays by heart. So he never actually learns the notes from the score, but he just looks once and then it's over and then he plays by heart. And for this small class concert and this small piece, I thought, okay, I'm just gonna try that. And I did it and it was actually very fun. So I had literally never played that piece through once with the score. From the very first piano rehearsal, I played by heart, was super comfortable. And then in the general rehearsal for the concert, I went on stage and I didn't have any scores with me. And then my teacher was like, oh, you're playing by heart? I didn't know that. And only this like one question really made me doubt everything, which was ridiculous because I knew that like I literally never had played the piece with the score. Usually it's the other way around, right? But it was my experiment and I knew that I can totally play this piece by heart. And just this one question like made me doubt everything. And like when I went off stage afterwards, I really had to laugh about myself, because it was really not rational, my fear, and it was really not based on any kind of real thing, this fear that I was feeling in this moment. And I think it is because we just like, in order to improve, we need to be so critical with ourselves. And if we start at the age of 14, then we are going to be critical, start to be critical at the age of 14. But if we start at the age of 6, we are going to start to be critical with ourselves at the age of 6, maybe even before, if we have that kind of personality structure. And I think, not even sure who it is, but like, I think it's Frank-Peter Zimmermann, this German violinist, which I really like, by the way. He once said in an interview that he is like extremely self-critical, and when he practices, it can be a nightmare because everything's wrong. But he has this technique. I don't know how he's doing, but he says that when he goes on stage, he just like leaves the doubt in his practice room. And he just doesn't doubt himself anymore when he's playing on stage. And that's so amazing, because like, of course you need to ask yourself questions and you need to really precisely look at every stroke and every fingering and whatever when you practice, but you need to be able to switch. And if you are completely sure that you can play a piece by heart and then your teacher is asking you, well, you're playing by heart, really? Then you need to be able to say, yeah, I've really practiced it. It's 100% done and I can do that. And not just like use this automatism of self-doubt, like for every single time someone is doubting you. It should be your decision if you want to doubt yourself or not.
Yeah, this is great. Really, it's so nice talking to you and hearing all of this, because I think we can all relate to all of this. And by the way, I wanted to say earlier also that I think it's very admirable and brave to to leave the jobs that don't satisfy us, you know, that because also it's not, as you said, somewhere you go to play and people love you, and somewhere you go and play and people may be not so crazy about you. And in the end, you need to ask yourself, like, do I want to play in the environment where I don't fit, or where, like, you know, it didn't click? Because of course it's great to have the salary coming, you know, every month and everything, but at the same time, to work for a long time in the environment which does not satisfy you is also, it's not a good way of living. So it's always better to cut those ties and go and look for places where you're gonna be appreciated, and where people gonna love you for who you are, and where people gonna, you know, make for you a nice environment where you can be the best version of yourself. Because there is definitely a lot to deal with on a personal level, and we need to do the therapy and find a way to deal with those things inside. But we are also very much a product of our environment, and if the environment is supportive, if the environment is kind, and if the environment is helping us to grow, then it's just much easier than to do it against of everything. And I know that when I was in school, I was studying in London, and just the base class there was so nice. It was, we had one of the best classes in Europe, and everyone in the end got like principal jobs in big orchestras. And at the same time, there was never competitiveness somehow. Like, it was always so inviting, and everyone was just sharing what they learned that week or that month. So, and it was all about being together and growing together, you know. And I think like that environment, that's what allows you to grow and succeed. And so like it is great to have this aims of like, I want to be in the best school, you know, and I want to be in the best orchestra. But at the same time, not to forget that sometimes to check, like, does this best school or best orchestra, does it make you feel good? And if not, then there is always a possibility to look for something that's going to be better. Because otherwise, yeah, maybe you need too much therapy, you know.
it's gonna cost you in the end. I remember like the first big production I played as a solo viola was the opera Tannhäuser, and it has three acts which are approximately 1 hour each. And when I started the first act, I was so nervous, and I was like failing every bar twice in my perception, and it was so stressful, and I really thought I can't go on playing like this. But for some reason I survived the first act, and I was a little bit calmer when the break started, and then I talked to some people in the break, and I could like loosen up some of the extra energy. And then the second act came, and then there is like some rhythmical parts for the violas which are, they are not hard to play, but you really need to lead the section. Otherwise, it's just like gonna totally fall apart. And I managed to do that really well. And that gave me this sense of security back that I needed in order to really enjoy the music. And then we played the third act, and it was like a musical present to me, because it was suddenly so nice. And I felt so comfortable in the chair and with the group and in the orchestra. And what I mostly or like especially liked about this experience is that for sure the people sitting behind me also realized that in the first act I was really stressed and I made some mistakes, and then for sure they also realized, hey, she led in the second part, she led really well, and in the third part she was very free and very musical, and she so showed us some nice things to do in the group in our solos and stuff. And I'm completely convinced that they saw every part of my progress just during this one performance, just during this one opera. And in the end, they were very happy with me. And it helped me a lot to also accept that I made some mistakes in the first part, and that I struggled a little bit, and then that I needed some time to like actually get into the music. And I've played in different ensembles where I really haven't felt that way. And I felt watched, and I felt like people are just like waiting for me to fail. And for a while I thought that I need to be exactly in those places because I need that kind of, I don't know, watchful eyes in order to improve. But then I just coincidentally made this experience. How do I actually feel when I'm in a loving environment where people greet me with open arms and they give me, even before playing the first note, they already give me the feeling, hey, we are so happy that you are here and we want you to sit in that position. And it frees up so much in you. And it's such a great thing to just like do that every once in a while. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't challenge yourself again after that, and that you should never go back to a competition where the environment is like a lot more tense. You can still do that, but you should also, at least every once in a while, like grant yourself the experience of being in a loving and supportive environment. And then just like, just watch yourself. You don't even need to draw conclusions at first thing. You just need to like watch yourself and look how it feels for you in each different situation, and then choose, do I want to like do it the hard way? Do I always want to go to every performance and be scared and stressed? If I want that, okay, then it's your choice, but probably you don't want it, and probably you just need to experience the alternative, and then you can choose that or mix of both worlds. But you really should, you should try both.
Yeah, I think it's the conclusion of this of this whole chat is that it should be always a conscious choice of how you want to live and how you want to feel and how you make your choices, and just to be aware of yourself and aware of your mental state, of your emotional state, and when you feel that something is wrong, then the best way is to start dealing with it at the moment when you start feeling that way, and then find help or do some self-help, but never to leave it and never to think like, okay, I don't have time for it and I'll deal with it later, because in the end it might get back to you. So like, it's always better to deal with it. And thank you so much for having this conversation together. And tell me, so like, when, if someone wants to get in touch with you and get a session with you, where do they find you?
Well, you could probably just find me on Instagram at the Liberated Musician. I try to kind of immediately answer every message I get. I'm also trying to put my like personal information there in the profile. I haven't succeeded yet, but it shouldn't be such a hard thing. So maybe that's my motivation now to get on this and finally put my email address and my phone number there, because of course you could also get to me more direct.
Great. Well, thank you for being a guest, and I really, really enjoyed this, and got a lot of takeaways for myself. And when next time without recording, we're gonna have a session where we talk. But
yeah,
so thank
sure.
You. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me. Yes. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.